Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And you're getting tired. Say, honey, so am I.
From newsounds.org and the studios of WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck, our series of live performances and interviews. I'm John Schaefer. Fen Lilly is an English singer, guitarist, and songwriter, but now based here in New York. And the songs on her new album, Big Picture, were actually written in her flat in Bristol, England. But the record was made here in the States, and that somehow seems appropriate for an album that finds its narrator in a transitional phase, wondering about her role in a relationship, wondering if it'll last, and maybe even wondering if she should be wondering if it'll last. It's a really strong record, and Fen and her band are here to play a few songs from it, beginning with this one called Pick.
Did I pick a bad time to love you? Did I pick a bad time to arrive? Did I pick a bad time to show you? It's not a bad time to be alive. Did I pick a bad time to write you? Is it ever a good time to address that a skimming stone without you is a stone still let it rest? Call me if you need me. I'll be alone. Call me if you're thinking of going far.
That's called Pick, live performance of a song by Fen Lilly, which is on her new record, Big Picture, out tomorrow, and featuring Fen on voice and guitar, with Logan Chung playing guitar, Emma Statcher on bass, and Austin Arnold behind our drum kit. Fen, to you and the band, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having us.
So, Pick on the record, you know, comes pretty far into the sequence of songs, but I'm glad you chose to start with that, because line one, you know, did I pick a bad time, seems to, that idea of time, the passage of time, memory or forgetting with the passage of time, those ideas seem to be in abundance in this new record.
Yeah, I think probably we'll start noticing that in everything that was made during COVID.
Mm.
Yeah.
Did you notice it, or Did you notice it at the time that you were writing these songs?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was conscious of being left behind by things and also rushing things. I didn't want to jump ahead in any decision making I was doing. But also, it was kind of like a vacuum time-wise. I was with somebody. I ended up living with somebody that I'd only been with for a couple of months. It's immediately. So that's like a time warp move.
For sure.
So these songs were written while you were still living in England, and bringing them here, was that always the plan, that you would come here to make the record?
I was going to go wherever the producer I picked was. But I had toured here. I like being over here. I like it so much that I moved here. But I also think it's beneficial to take something that's close to a place that it was created and put it in a different space. I also felt like I'd been in the flat that I wrote the record in for 2 straight years without leaving. So it felt like a nice, nice decision to take it elsewhere. But yeah.
Well, you know, this theme of time, there's a song on the record called In My Own Time, which strikes me as a sort of ironic title because it does not sound like the work of someone of 2023. You know, it sounds like it could have been written 60 or 70 years ago.
That hang around like me, just like you're talking.
That's huge for me to hear. I don't know if you meant that as like a really big compliment, but it is.
Mid-century pop, you know, that was great stuff.
Yeah.
That was great stuff. I mean, and, you know, we know it was because it has withstood the test of time already.
Yeah.
But so the sound of that song, you know, is kind of a signifier of this kind of theme that's woven through the record as well.
Yeah, I was given a piano and it took 5 hours for 2 of us to get it up 8 steps to my living room. And
been there, done that.
And I immediately was like, I need to get my effort's worth from this piano. So, and that was one of the first things that kind of came from it.
Mm-hmm.
I did want to make I don't know if this is going to make me sound annoying, but I wanted to make a record that sounded like it could be made at any point in time. I also wanted to call the record In My Own Time, but that's a Karen Dalton album, so
yes.
I didn't do that.
Karen Dalton, great folk singer of bygone times, some 50 years ago. Is she a touchstone for you, musically?
Yeah, she was one of my favorites when I was a lot younger, and then through COVID, I found myself going back to all the things I liked when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Same foods, same bands.
Well, so, yeah. I think a lot of people did that. You know, yeah. You needed some kind of comfort.
Definitely.
At a time when the world was so chaotic and different.
Yeah. I also wanted to make a comforting sounding record. And a lot of music from Karen Dalton era, that kind of stuff, it establishes a vibe at the beginning and doesn't really move from it, but it doesn't feel dull. It's just like, you know exactly how you're going to feel when you put it on.
Yeah.
I like that. Not trying to be too dynamic, but it is in just like a soft way.
So not going for the epic prog rock thing that...
That's next time.
That's next. Okay. It's funny to hear you talk about pandemic hits, you end up living with someone you'd only been with for a short time, because in this next song that you're going to do, Lights Light Up, the speed of a relationship, the speed with which it happens, is actually a line in the song.
Yeah.
And then later, at the end of the album, in the song Half Finished, the narrator is looking out a train window and seeing the world go by so fast and
you
wondering if...
You are so observant and smart. Yeah, that is right. I hadn't noticed that. myself.
But that idea of things rushing at you and rushing by you, that was, to me, those are the kind of telling details that mark a songwriter who's not going for something that's just going to be, you know, on the pop charts next month and then gone forever. So
I don't really have any goals. Is that weird? I was not a child with vision either. I wanted to be a surfer, a mum, and 6 foot tall. And that was all. I'm happy to not be feeling the same. Am I moving through the world too fast? Am I moving through the world too slowly?
Yep.
I feel very comfortable with the idea of time and how it's passing me now.
So, all right. Yeah. Well, the song Lights Light Up, this was the first single that was released from the record, and has a lovely video. I mean, as a Brooklyn boy myself, it's just like great to see the bridge and the neighborhood and all that kind of stuff. So you seem to have settled in to New York pretty well.
It's pretty easy. Every kind of person lives here, yeah. And I'm just one of them. All right. Slide in.
Fen Lily is here with her band. Let's hear this live performance of Lights Light Up.
About it often.
dance alone all the time. In my same room where I learned about the cancer, and you just held your head to mine, and you said, so do you ever want to leave here? And I said, well, that depends on the day.
Light Up is the name of the song, live performance from Fen Lily and the band, of a song that's on the new album called Big Picture, which is out tomorrow. And Fen will be back here in New York on Friday, June 2nd, playing at the Music Hall of Williamsburg as part of her tour around the country in May and June. There's something, Fen, about what you were saying before, you know, about not having goals, whether you meant that literally or not, that resonates with the narrator of this song, because there's a relationship. Is it going to end? Is it going to end well? You know, she seems to just kind of be very zen about it.
I'm glad it's coming across like that, because the narrator is me.
So are these songs kind of like ripped from the pages of your diary, essentially?
I mean, I've never kept a diary before lockdown. And then I felt like I didn't have any control over anything. And none of my thoughts belonged to me. And nothing I was feeling was really just me feeling it. I felt like everything was shared globally, feelings-wise. So I started keeping a journal.
Oh.
And yeah, that lights kept changing. And I kept injecting new stories and parts into it as stuff happened.
So let me ask you about something that's on your Bandcamp page.
Ooh.
You say this isn't a sad album. It's about as uplifting as my way of doing things will allow. Which I just found to be a kind of amusing little quote. But what did you mean by that?
I think maybe others will other people that are easily labeled sad music will maybe agree that it feels like it minimizes a lot into one tiny word that doesn't really describe much. I think maybe when people mean or say sad, it should be replaced with thoughtful or something. I'm not sure.
Pensive, melancholy.
Really, really deep. No. I'm not a particularly soft, graceful person in every other way, apart from when I first started singing, and that was just the voice that initially emerged.
So you don't have like a punk band in your teenage past?
No, I wasn't very cool. I was mainly by myself, mainly at home. So this is the music that was born from being alone and not really having friends.
Where did you grow? Did you grow up in Bristol?
I grew up in Dorset,
In the West Country.
Yes,
which is beautiful, but
yeah,
certainly not a hotbed of
of anything.
Musical energy and ferment.
Right. Cool fact, though, about Dorset music. PJ Harvey went to my school.
Oh, that is very cool.
Lives there now. Yes. Yeah. I worked in a record store there that isn't the same now. It has new owners, but she would come in sometimes.
Wow.
And I would shakily hand her CDs that she'd pre-ordered.
I love the fact that PJ Harvey would still frequent record stores.
And, yeah.
You know?
She's
great. And buy other people's stuff.
No, she was just buying her own CDs.
No, come on.
That would be such a power move.
Yeah, that would be, that would be very disappointing, actually.
I would write down the albums that she ordered to give myself a cooler musical diet.
Uh-huh. So it does seem like, you know, the musical diet at home would have been like maybe your parents' music?
Yeah.
Okay.
They didn't really listen to music, though. It was almost like I was given an iPod when I was 9, which had all my dad's best friend's music loaded onto it. But it was really weird stuff. In retrospect, it was strange because it was like Avril Lavigne, all of Avril Lavigne's back catalogue, Buffalo Springfield, okay. and The Killers. That's pretty much
okay.
it.
Okay, all right.
So that was kind of my those are my like starting points.
Well, because in the song you're going to do next, Dawn Colored Horse, you reference a pretty well-known song from the early 70s by Ronnie Lane called Roll On Babe, and then proceed to paraphrase one of the lines from that song. So this is clearly something that was kind of part of your musical DNA.
I found that record actually relatively recently, but sometimes someone in another song will say something that is impossible to rephrase or put into words that aren't already there.
Mm.
So I did nick it. I stole it. But I'm admitting to it, so it's more like it's daylight robbery, which isn't real robbery, is it? I think that's a rule.
Okay, so robbery has to be done at night to be a crime
in
England?
Yeah, that's how it is in England, yeah.
And the title, Dawn Colored Horse, because those words do not appear in the song, as far as I can tell.
No, they don't. It's from a poem, Richard Brautigan poem, where he talks about a prince coming riding on a dawn-colored horse.
Nice.
Richard Brautigan was another comfort thing for me through the pandemic.
Trout fishing in America?
Yep.
Probably his best known work here. Not a poem, but poetic for sure.
He's just he's freaky.
Yeah.
You never know what's going to happen, but you kind of do. It's like watching The Twilight Zone or something. You know you're going to come away with a weird feeling, but he's impossible not to like, in my opinion. But yeah, it's from a poem. Of
All his. Right. Dawn Colored Horse is the name of the song. Once again, Fen Lily, and another live performance of a track from her new record, Big Picture.
I met a girl on runaway ground. Talk like she knew me with a welcoming sound. We said a lot and nothing at all. And time was dripping from the cord. She found a room to be all by herself, up 7 stories like a dollar shop, counting the days down, 1, 2, 3, 4, nobody's looking except the guard. Read.
Once again, Fen Lily and her band with Dawn Colored Horse. The album called Big Picture is out tomorrow. And so, Fen, when did you move to Brooklyn?
September.
Of last year?
Yes, of this year that's just passed mm-hmm. us, 2022.
And, you know, the album is coming out. I know you've got a tour back home in England and Europe and then back here in the States, so lots of stuff to occupy. I'm just wondering if you've been writing since moving here.
Actually, I just moved to a new apartment that has really massive windows, which for some reason is making me want to write. I feel like I'm in that period where it's not expected of me to be writing, but that makes me want to do it more for some reason.
Yeah. Well, the reason I ask simply is, you know, the circumstances are so different now from what you were dealing with when writing this set of songs.
And yeah.
So the idea that, you know, place and time can affect the creative process, you know, that's something I always find really interesting.
Yeah. I don't know if this is normal, but I feel like boredom or frustration to me makes me prolific more than being really happy. And I am really happy here and everything's new, but everything new makes me want to try and be someone that can be prolific and happy. So I am trying to break that habit. But
goals, Fen, you have goals.
I have a goal. I finally have a goal. No, I meant by that I don't have any high expectations of being in a chart.
All right. So the album's out tomorrow. As I say, it's called Big Picture. You'll be back June 2nd, Music Hall of Williamsburg, here in your new hometown. And Fen, I'm just really glad that you and the band were able to come in and play for us today.
Thank you so much for having us.
Fen Lily, my guest, with Logan Chung on guitar, Emma Stacher on bass, and Austin Arnold behind the drum kit. Behind the plexiglass in the control room, our technical director is Irene Trudell, our producer's Karen Havlick, our video editor is Eric Weber. I'm John Schaefer. You can find all of our soundcheck videos on the New Sounds YouTube channel, and keep up with us by subscribing to our newsletter. Just text New Sounds to 70101.
They've got a fear of things changing, but I don't mind. I made no promises that I'd stay.